Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, CC friends, and welcome to Christian Communicators Live. I'm Vonda Skelton, and my co-director, Carolyn Kneffley, and I are here in cold and windy South Carolina. You know, Carolyn, I was just thinking a while ago, this would be a really good time for us to have a trip to the Caribbean, don't you think?
Yes. Warm breezes sound good to me right now. However, those who call first when we open the phone lines, they're the ones that are going to end up with a sunny smile today. So, listeners, if you write this number down really quick, you'll hear how you can receive the book, free book, from our guest speaker today. And that number is 347-843-4920. Back to you, Vonda.
Oh, thank you. Well, listeners, Carolyn and I are thrilled to death about our show today. We get to chat with author, speaker, and Christian Communicators grad, Sharon Cosby. So welcome, Sharon.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here for a lot of reasons.
Well, we sure are glad to have you. And listeners, we can't wait for you to meet Sharon, but first, let me tell you a little more about her. An Alabama transplant to Florida, Sharon says she stays true to her southern roots with a hey y'all and roll tide roll. Well, we just had an experience with tide recently around these parts, and so it's taking a lot of grace for me now to talk to you.
Thank you.
Oh, me. But seriously, encouraging mothers who feel hopeless is an honor that Sharon doesn't take lightly. Her presentations are often recovery-related, and she shares her family's journey with her addicted son. Although she is quick to add with a chuckle that she can talk about something besides recovery, like her phenomenal grandchildren. I know what you mean about that, Sharon. She's been married to her forever boyfriend for 41 years, and together they have 3 children and 6 grandchildren. Dan and Sharon recently purchased a travel trailer and have plans to explore state parks and relax around a campfire. As I mentioned earlier, Sharon is a graduate of Christian Communicators Conference, and she attended the She Speaks Conference. Sharon's book, Praying for Your Addicted Loved One, 90 and 90, is available at Amazon and at her website, SharonCosby.com. Now listen to this spelling because it's a little different. SharonCosby.com. So,
right.
Sharon, you ready to jump in?
I am ready. Let's go.
Okay, let's get started. The first question, this is something that aspiring speakers always want to know. How did you get started in a speaking ministry?
It started with the Salvation Army. I have a cousin who is a Salvation Army officer / pastor, and we had not seen one another for about 17 years, and she happened to be stationed in Tampa, and
mm-hmm.
we got together, and she invited me to do a presentation that I had worked up about addiction and drugs and things,
mm-hmm.
and she later told me I was auditioning for a spot at their women's retreat. So
wow.
That began really my public speaking career was with the Salvation Army at their women's
mm-hmm.
retreats. And I've done probably 8 or 10
wow.
in Florida and North Carolina.
Oh, wow. What an awesome
yeah.
opportunity. Goodness
it was
gracious.
And I ended up getting a job out of it.
Wow, that's a double blessing, isn't it?
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear how you got started because that is something that people want to know. And isn't it wonderful how God uses a variety of reasons and ways to get each of us started in our ministries?
Mm-hmm. Yep, yes.
Well, you know, as I was thinking over your ministry and what you do, You know, I love humor and my messages in life. So I wondered, have you ever had a funny experience in your speaking ministry, besides the fact that you were auditioning and you didn't know it?
Yeah. Yes. And it began at a very early age. I was in the fifth grade in a speech contest. And my mm-hmm. opening line was, "Ask not what you can do for your country," the famous John Kennedy speech. And I could not remember my lines. And I just stood there frozen. I did not win the speech contest, but I did win for the most poised speaker. And I later told my mother I was poised because my knees were locked and I couldn't move. If I had tried to move, I would have fallen like a great oak. So and I remember that every time I stand to speak, I remember, breathe. If you can't remember the opening line, it'll come. And when we had to do our video presentations at CCC, that was one thing that just terrified me, that I was going to get up there and freeze just like I did in the fifth grade. But that didn't happen. But that I always remember that when I stand to speak.
Well,
don't lock your knees.
That's right. As we just said, God uses a lot of different opportunities and different ways to direct us, and he started you at a very young age. But, you know, since I love humor so much, and since we talk at Christian Communicators about how you use your stories of life in your speaking ministry, have you figured out a way to use that story in one of your presentations yet?
Not yet, but that... Something just, I'm going to jot that down. Something just popped into my mind. I can develop a presentation based on "Don't lock your knees." So
wonderful.
So
how about
see,
that?
Y'all are
thank
just
you,
full
Lord.
Of inspiration.
How about that? Oh,
I'm writing
wait.
It down so I don't forget.
Yep. Good thinking. Good thinking. Well, we talked a little bit about your first book, Praying for Your Addicted Loved One, 90 and 90. But I know you've written a second book, too, which is called Hope Hooks, Where Do I Hang My Hope? We'd like to know what compelled you to write that particular book.
Actually, it was you. When I first met you at Florida Christian Writers Conference, I was in your class, and we did impromptu speeches. And I had already gotten this presentation together, but I didn't have it titled. And in your class, I opened with, "Have you ever wanted to hang somebody on a hook?" And I went from there, and so I developed the Hope Hooks. And the Hope Hook is a daily scripture. And for me, it was the one that I hung my son on October the 8th, 2009, when you know he was in the midst of his addiction. So that's what really prompted it, was the class that I attended that day, and that helped me formulate that concept of a hope hook.
Wow. Oh my goodness, what a lesson. What a lesson that is for all of us, that two things, that we never know what God is going to lay on our hearts and what he's going to use to open that door to another presentation or another book, but also what an honor and a joy it is that we can all encourage one another like that. You know, just a class and somebody says something and boom, off we go, downloading sometimes that ministry or that article or that presentation that he has available for us. But the key is we've got to be listening for it and looking for it. So thank you for telling me that. I did not realize that was part of it. So when is this book going to come out so I can tell everybody that I got to be a part of it?
Right. Not soon enough. I just got a rejection letter last week, but I am pitching next week at a conference, and then I am sending it to another agent or to an agent. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Well,
not,
good.
Not, like I said, not soon enough.
I know what you mean, but boy, what a lesson we learn in perseverance when we're writers and speakers.
That's right.
You know,
hurry up and wait.
That's exactly right. I read a statistic one time that said the average writer will get 5 to 10 rejections and quit. And you know what I say to those people? Well, you are wimps, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's
because
right.
It takes way more than 5 or 10 rejections to quit. And just for the record, I want to publicly say that I had 63 rejections before I ever had anything at all published. And
wow.
I often think, what if I had stopped at 63? What if I'd never sent that 64th query or made that 64th submission? You know, I don't know that the world would be any different, but man, my life would have been so different. So thank you for saying that, because that opens up an area that people need to know who are interested.
Right.
And feel called to a writing or speaking ministry. So what is it about public speaking that motivates you?
I think the main thing is I knew for so many years what helplessness and hopelessness and desperation felt like and looked like. So when I speak, and I speak into, you know, primarily women, into their lives, that there is hope and that tomorrow's a new day. And when I see the tears streaming down their faces, I know that, you know, I've touched that soft spot in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And their light bulbs start coming on. And it's an honor, really, to bring them to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Not sad tears, but tears of hope.
Yes.
And tears that there really is a way out of this, and I will survive.
Right.
Because there were many days that I didn't have that, and I didn't know if I would survive.
Oh, I can't imagine. I can't imagine. And the thing that we have to keep remembering is that when we go through these struggles, and we all will, you know, my
mm-hmm,
struggle might not be yours, and yours might not be mine, but we will go through it. And his word promises us that he does have plans, and many times those plans include taking those hardships of life and turning them around in a way that we can encourage and motivate other people.
And it's a way also to let women know, moms particularly, know that they're not alone in their struggles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our struggle was addiction, but pain is pain.
Yeah.
And my story may be about recovery, but it's still a message of hope, whether
mm-hmm.
it's about a bankruptcy or an illness or the loss of a loved one. The messages are still about hope.
Yes, definitely.
And the hope that we have in Christ.
And that's really the only hope mm-hmm. we can depend on.
Yeah. And it's so neat when I spoke last week to a business women's group, and this one woman just sat there with this kind of dazed look, but she has a family member. And it was that dazed look of connection. And she was so thankful, and I didn't really share our full story,
mm-hmm.
but it was enough that there was that connection, but I offered her hope, and she's invited me back to speak again.
Mm.
But it was so neat to see her light bulbs come on. You know, this woman got through something.
Mm.
I can get through it. You know,
yeah.
So it was really neat to watch.
Oh, yes. And, you know, you hit on a really good and important point, is that we have to be willing to be transparent in order to point others to Christ. you know, if we walk around and act like everything is wonderful and we've never struggled or we've always just acted exactly like Christ would all our lives and none of our children struggle and our marriages didn't struggle, then we can't offer hope to other people.
Well, we can't relate.
Yes, they can't because they are going through something. So what a good point to bring up about how important transparency is, because then they can see that, yes, as he says in Jeremiah, he does offer us a hope and a future, and he can hear, they can hear that from us. So thank you for your transparency.
You're welcome.
Well, friends, this is great information for us as speakers and writers, and I hate to stop, but let's take a moment and let Carolyn open the phone lines for us.
I'd be happy to. This is a great conversation, Vonda and Sharon. Listeners, if you'll call 847-843-4920 and be the first caller, Sharon will be sharing her book with you, Praying for Your Addicted Loved Ones, 90 and 90. Again, the phones are open now. We look forward to hearing from you. Oh, let's continue. This is good information, Vonda.
Okay. Well, Sharon, let's don't leave this idea of transparency behind. Let's go back to that. Why? What compelled you to freely share the story of your addiction, of his addiction, at first when you were starting out? Because, like we said, many people keep that kind of information buried, and yet, from the beginning, it sounds like you openly talked about the struggles that your family faced.
Well, in the very beginning, I didn't. You know, we were leaders in our church. I worked for a prominent attorney who later became a judge. So in the beginning, I didn't talk about it. But when I did decide to do that, it opened the floodgates for me to get healing emotionally. So that's one of the main reasons I so freely share our story. You know, we're just one family among thousands who have an addict. But I like to think our story is what God has done with the Cosby family.
Right.
Not the Cosbys. It's what he has done and how he has turned things around for us. And there are still some bumps in the road, but my son is almost 6 years, February 18th will be 6 years clean and sober.
Wow.
And I love sharing that. You know, I love sharing our story, and that's why. And I've learned that I don't have to share all the nitty-gritty details.
Right.
What I do need to share is my strengths, experience, and hope in how we got to where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need war stories. We need God stories. We need grace stories and hope stories. And that's why I share our story.
Wow, I'm writing that down. That is a great quote. We don't need war stories. We need God stories. So true. So true. Well, let's kind of change gears here for a minute.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I know that you don't work all the time, every minute of every day. There has to be some free time in there or some time to relax. So,
my husband would beg to differ.
Well, maybe you do work all the time, but you shouldn't work all the time. But
right.
So what do you do to make yourself relax? And I think there's a story behind this, so would you go ahead and share that as well?
Yes. I've always been a reader. That's my go-to place, is a book, either a hardback or my Kindle. I'm always reading something. And then writing, too, is relaxing. But most recently, in November, we bought a travel trailer. And once again, you were instrumental in that life change because of that life questionnaire thing that we had to do for the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I answered it with gritted teeth, but I did it. And as I did it, I realized we need to have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
So that was about the wildest thing at the time that I could think of, going camping, because I am not a camper. I'm a city girl. And so we bought a travel trailer, and we
wow.
have had a blast, absolute blast. And my husband is Danny. We have talked more in the last 2 months than we have probably talked in the last 2 years.
Wow.
And it is just fabulous. I can't wait to go again.
Oh, I'm so glad. So, so glad. You know, it's amazing how God does provide for us what we need when we seek Him, you know, and when we're
mm-hmm.
honest before Him. So I am so excited for you. Can't wait to hear
yeah.
where you go to and what you discover. That might be a good way to do a writing retreat is get in the camera.
Well, actually, my Word Weavers group, we were going to do that on February the 20th. We were going to do a sensory retreat because
mm-hmm.
sitting around the campfire, you know, you hear the crackle of the fire and the
yeah.
sounds out in the woods, and then the
mm-hmm.
birds have a different chirp in the morning and all that. So we had scheduled a sensory retreat, but then I found out it was my granddaughter's first birthday party. So I cannot
yeah.
miss Ellie Grace's birthday party.
No,
but
you
we
can't.
Are going to do that.
That
very thing.
Oh, I love that idea.
Yeah, and
that
you'll write a story
uh-huh.
based on each of the senses. You know, what do you smell around the campfire
mm-hmm.
or when you're out walking? And so it'll be fun. And I would well, never have done that had I not had this camper.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad to hear that. Glad to hear that Christian Communicators could encourage you to relax and have fun as well.
Yes.
But we
too.
Can't promise that everybody that comes to Christian Communicators gets a travel trailer. Oh, goodness. But I was really interested in hearing about your experience of growing up in the South, because I did too. So you don't have to talk about Roll Tide Roll. For those who don't know, Clemson just suffered a huge loss to Alabama a few weeks ago?
2 weeks.
Two weeks
Monday.
But who's counting,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
right.
My. A heartbreaking loss, but it was a good game all the way around.
It was excellent. Excellent.
Yes.
Y'all's quarterback is awesome.
Yes, how about that? But let's talk a little bit more about growing up in the South. I know I learned a lot of values from my family as a Southerner, and I know that can happen in the country, but particularly in the South, there just seems to be a lot of storytelling that's kind of more built in. So what values did you learn as a Southerner, and what would you be willing to share and tell us about that?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the strongest value was family.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our activities were with our family, extended family members. Several of the cousins and everything lived.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Birmingham, lived there. So we had our family get-togethers. We'd go to my grandmother's for lunch after church, and then after she passed away, my mother carried that tradition on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the strong sense of family is one of the biggest values that I got as a Southerner. Not that other areas don't have that strong cord, but it just seems a little different in the South. I think I learned a different kind of respect
mm-hmm.
for my elders in particular. My family was real big on saying yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And if you did not say that, you did not get an answer or not the one you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just drilled into us to respect our elders and to just primarily respect your elders, respect other people.
Uh-huh.
And then church. The church was, if we weren't at school, we were at church.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents were leaders in our church. And it was all about that kind of faith community. You know, my friends in high school were from church.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I treasure those memories of growing up in my Southern Baptist church in the South.
Yeah.
And the family connections. And I'm very proud to be a Southerner. And I love our Southernisms and our little slang that only us, bless our hearts, know
right.
what we're talking about. And
right.
So I'm very proud to be. And we're good cooks.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, I'm glad you brought up that bless his heart, bless your heart. Because
bless your heart.
I think somebody hijacked that term, that little phrase, that we truly did mean sincerely. You know, it was
mm-hmm.
not a snarkyism that
right.
it has become or has been claimed to be from other people. It truly was an endearment to say
mm-hmm,
that.
Absolutely.
And so it frustrates me that people take that and they'll turn it into something that it was never intended and
mm-hmm.
that we don't intend for it to be. But
right.
anyway, we're running out of time. So let me just ask you, do you have a real quick advice, any kind of advice that you would like to give our listeners who are considering writing or speaking, particularly writing or speaking?
Looking back at it, I wish I had read the book before I started. I would get some of the good craft books
mm-hmm.
on writing well by Zinser, Michael Hyatt's platform,
mm-hmm.
and those kinds of books, and get yourself familiar before you jump into it. I kind of went into it backwards, and you know that term in media res, in the middle of something, is sometimes mm-hmm. how I feel. I'm in the middle trying to figure out the beginning and the ending. But
right.
I guess that would be and attend writers' conferences. If you're a newbie, go to writers' conferences.
Yes.
You will meet wonderful people, just like the relationship that I have with you was from a writers' conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I have met some of the greatest people in the whole world at writers' conferences.
Yes.
So that I think that would probably be the best.
Well,
go to writers' conferences and get some craft books.
Amen. I give a second to that because that's exactly what I would say, too. Well, our time is up, and I hate to say that, but Sharon, thank you for sharing your insight and your experiences with us today. You know, some of our listeners could very well be going through similar hardships, and
mm-hmm.
your word can be such an encouragement to them today. So thank you for your transparency.
You're welcome.
And for giving God the glory for what he's done. Thank you.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, friends, if you want to find out more about Sharon and her book and her ministry, you'll want to check out her website. And let me remind you, it's an unusual spelling, Sharon, Sharron, and it's Cosby, not Crosby.
Cosby, thank you.
Cosby. You'll want to also find her on Facebook and Twitter. You can locate her there as well. And thank you, friends, for joining us today. Without you, there'd be no reason to have Christian Communicators Live. And ladies, if you feel called to speak and don't know where to begin, or perhaps you're already speaking but want to learn how to grow your outreach and connect with other Christian women speakers, we hope you'll visit ChristianCommunicators.com, where we educate, validate, and launch women in their speaking ministries. Our next conference will be August 24th through the 28th at the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove, and the information will be posted soon, and registration will open in March. So be sure to sign up for the blog and the newsletter so you'll be among the first to know. We'd love to partner with you in ministry. So for today, that's it. Goodbye and God bless.